So the shir is Liyuei Nishmas, my grandmother Esther Etel, Basim Zalman Yosef, Ethel Korn, a longtime member of the shul who is known for her laugh and her enjoyment of life and for her just her love of her family. And I think she heard the shir, she probably would have cracked up because this shir was exactly not her. Absolutely nothing to. I never saw my bubby put up a mezuzah in her house, and that way my Zadie would do everything. I just remember my bubby saying, "Marshall," you know, when we would act up, and my Zadie would be the one who would discipline. If anyone knows my Zadie, that was very appropriate. It's appropriate, and my bubby would just, you know, come to the corner and stand in the corner with us when we got punished. So, and should be an Eloi for a neshama. But some women are not like that. Like, for example, my wife does everything around the house, and I do absolutely nothing. So I decided to Google it so that no one thinks that I'm making up the stats over here. So I will read you from an Angie study. I never heard of Angie, but apparently it's a big survey company. It's listed on the stock market. So, what is it?
Yeah. Angie's List.
Yeah, so apparently it's a big company. I never heard of it.
They specialize in fixing stuff.
So perfect, so perfect. So that's why they did this study. So the question number one is, who's driving? That's what it's called. Men, 68%, say more frequently that they are the primary decision maker when it comes to home improvement. But a significant portion of women homeowners surveyed, 52%, also see themselves as holding sole power.
Maybe it's a Jewish
one. I don't know. It's a general. Collaboration versus control. More women, 56%, say they prefer shared responsibilities and decision-making when it comes to home investment decisions, while more men, 51%, say they want total ownership. Okay. Confidence. Men, 40%, more frequently selected that they feel very knowledgeable about home improvement repairs and maintenance compared to women, what percent thought that they feel very knowledgeable about home improvement repairs and maintenance. This is the Chabura here. 29%. Final one, enjoyment. Men more often say, that's 59%, home improvement and maintenance is rewarding, while women, which is 61%, often say that they find it expensive. While men and women said that they find home ownership enjoyable, more men than women, 63% versus 57%, seem to enjoy it. So now the question is very simple. Can a woman, should a woman, put up a mezuzah in their house? Now, just to make sure we understand the facts correctly, we're talking about the physical act of affixing the mezuzah. And I'm going to lead you to that point in a moment. But the question I want to know today is, can a woman put up the mezuzah for the family? In my house, I do absolutely nothing. If a mezuzah wants to get up, either my wife would have to put it up, or we could hire someone to do it. But am I obligated to hire a man to do it? Or can my wife just put up the mezuzah?
And then the question has to be, who makes the bracha?
Who makes the bracha? That's a whole other shir. I only have 25 minutes. It's new, but let's do a raise of hands. Is there any woman in this room who has ever affixed the mezuzah themselves? Excellent. So we have a couple. Okay, Reuben, you know, it's not so good for you. Yeah, Reuben's on my side over here. Yeah? So my bubby would have been proud because she would absolutely not have put up a mezuzah in her entire life herself. So now the question is that permitted? Now that we have three or four people that raise their hands, do you have to go home, take down the mezuzah, and have a man put it back up? This is our question. And again, I'm just going to read you the sources. I have no personal, this is not a feminist or an anti-sexist type of shir. We're simply going to read the sources, and we could decide what you think the halacha should be. Yes. I actually think my wife has never put up a mezuzah. Not because when we hired someone, when we moved into the house, the mezuzah doctor came and he just put everything up for it. Cost me a pretty penny, but he did it, everything. He took it down, he checked it. Okay. Fine.
But you read the brachas.
Well, that's a whole other shit. You're into the brachas. One second. He actually made the bracha. He actually made the bracha. We could talk about that in a whole other shir. But that's a separate issue. Now, comes along the Mishnah in Brachos and says, Nashim, women, getting to the relevant parts, are chayav in the mezuzah. Are chayav in mezuzah. That means, what does that mean? That if a woman has a house by herself, she is, or with her husband, what?
Apartment.
Or an apartment, apartment. House, so house slash apartment. Yeah, apartment. No, apartment is included in my definition of house. Correct. A living quarters has living quarters that are her own, or with her husband, she is obligated to ensure that there is a mezuzah on the door. She has a mitzvah Torah to make sure that there is a mezuzah affixed on the door. Says the Gemara, that makes sense because mezuzah is not a time-dependent mitzvah. You don't only have to have a mezuzah on Sukkot time. You also don't only have to have a mezuzah during the day versus the night. Mezuzah is a perpetual mitzvah. And therefore, of course, a woman who owns a house or rents a house or whatever, or an apartment or a living quarters or a room, must make sure that there is a mezuzah on the door. The Rashi cites the Gemara in Kiddushin, which doesn't make sense. Because what does it say? What does the pasuk say in Shema that we say every day? No. What's the benefit of a mezuzah? Laman yirbu yimeichem, right? Men want to live long, but I would imagine women want to live long as well, says the Gemara in Kiddushin. And therefore, there's absolutely no reason to distinguish between men having a mezuzah on their door, having an obligation to ensure that there's a mezuzah on their door, versus a woman having an obligation to have a mezuzah on their door. Now, you should all just leave right now, because it's a very simple, it's a Mishnah. You don't even have to say it's a Gemara. You didn't even do a Gemara. It's a Mishnah that says women are chayav in mezuzah. Now, how am I going to kill 15 minutes now? I'm going to read you one more Gemara, and you'll tell me what you think. This was brachos. A lot of people do that Gemara. Everyone knows it sounds great, very pretty. Then you put out menachos. Not too many people do menachos. And then you get to one line in menachos, tucked away on page 42, where Rabbi Chanina Berei Derava mi Pisharnya, he says that Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs, shekosvan, that's written, and I'm getting to the relevant part of here, that's written by a woman, is possible. If a woman writes tefillin, writes a Sefer Torah, or writes a mezuzah, it's possible. Why? Because the pasuk says, follow me here, two words, that's the whole shir. Because the pasuk says, ukshartem means you have to tie, referring to tying. And the next pasuk says, uchisavtem, you have to write them, which tells you, Kol sheyeshno bikshira, yeshno bikshiva. Kol sheeno bikshira, eino bikshiva. The only people who could write are the people who tie. People that don't bind themselves or tie the tefillin don't write it. End of Gemara. Attack. I'm all open to attack here. Yeah.
That's where Rashi Torah put it on. The reason why halachically they don't put
it on. One second. I'm just reading. So what I think the Gemara means, and again, I'm open to different, to arguing about it, and we'll see other sources that talk about it, is the Gemara seems to be saying that the only person who is permitted to write a mezuzah, tefillin, or sefer Torah are people who are ksharitem. Now, I think ksharitem means you tie, you bind. We're talking about tefillin. Now, there is no ksharitem by Sefer Torah or by mezuzah. But the Gemara seems to be lumping them together. That you can't write Sefer Torah, you can't write tefillin, you can't write mezuzah, because, a woman can't, because they're not included in the previous pasuk of Shema, ukshartem, of binding.
Did that be a rebuttal?
We're going to get a rebuttal. We're going to get, we're going to have a whole chabur here. What
does it have to do with having it? Okay, so you can't write it, but
so this is one of the exegetical ways that we darshan things. I'm opening up a Siddur Shema, because of course we say Shema like 1,000 times a day, and I don't want to misquote any psukim by heart. Okay, right? Pasuk says, Ukishartem os al yadecha, vayuvetotafos beninecha, and then the next pasuk is, Ukhisavtam. So this is one of these exegetical, if I pronounce that word correctly, right? One of these learning ways that we the Torah darshans And we have a connection over here. One word, one pasuk says ukshayt. The very next pasuk, God connected them for a reason. So the Gemara says, the reason why they're connected is to teach us, or one of the reasons why they're connected, is to teach us this law. That it's a woman can't write because a woman doesn't bind. You're with me so far? Okay. Comes along the Yeshuos Malko. Now who is the Rabbi Yeshuos Malko? So I just wanted to read to you a little bit about his biography, gotten from a very legit source called Wikipedia. He's Rabbi. I tried to do more research on it. There's not much other. Get the Jewish Encyclopedia, but that's just Wikipedia. Just copies it from there. So it says Rabbi Yisrael Eliyahu Yoshua Trunk of Kutno. He lived in 1821 to 1893. He was an important Polish posek in the late 19th century. Nabuchi was orphaned at age 11. Interestingly, he got married at age 14. And for the next 6 years, he learned Torah while supported by his mother-in-law. I always support that idea. And starting in 1840, he served as the rabbi of, I'm going to butcher these names, Shrensk, Gabin, Worka, Plutsk. And then in 1861, he became the Rav in Kutno, where he served until his death. Interestingly, he was an ardent Zionist. He was known for his love of Eretz Yisrael, which was very unique in that time. And he supported the Sefer Drisha Sion by Rav Kalischer, who was, of course, one of the early Zionists. In 1886, he visited Eretz Yisrael, encouraged the old Yishuv, and he was one of the first people who allowed the Heter Mechira to sell the Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. So this is who he was. I just wanted to frame that to you. Once I say he's a Zionist, then maybe he won't be so mad at his next thing that he says. Okay. He says like this. Vida, you should know, and it's safe for Yeshua's mouth. Deisha, a woman. Afal pi shechayeves b'mezuzah. Even though she's obligated in mezuzah. Umikol mako. Nevertheless. Ein la likvoa ba'atzma. She cannot affix it herself. Kimo shepesua l'ksiva. Just like she can't write a mezuzah. Viraya, he says, I'll bring you a proof. The Gemara in Menachos that we just said says that an isha is pasul lasos tefillin. Bahainu, it's talking about nachri. He's talking about nachri, but the Gemara bunches nachri, evet, evet, isha, the whole list, ketanim together. We skip that part for easier sake. Yeah, so it says bahainu. He says, "Well, tough run. You're not even a nachri is not allowed to sew together or a shar dover. Kamo de pasul ksiva omeha namilisha. Just like a woman is not allowed to write a mezuzah because she can't tie her tefillin, says Yeshua's Malka, maybe she can't affix it. Not maybe you can't. He says, affix it as well. This is a humongous chiddush by the Yeshua's Malka in the mid 1800s." Think about also, it's interesting always to think about like what the world was dealing with at that time. In certain lands of like feminism perhaps was starting to early, late 1800s. I'm not sure. I have no idea what was motivating him. But it's a 3-4 line comment that he has, which all of a sudden now, is it normative halacha or not? A 4-line statement from Poland in mid-1800s, does that apply bizman hazeh nowadays? Do the contemporary poskim latch on to this and rule accordingly, or are they more liberal? Yeah.
Prior to him, was
he allowed? Not a clue. Not a clue. It's mind-boggling. There's no 1500s rav. Shulchan Aruch says nothing. You can open up a Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say. It says women are chayv and mezuzah. Finished. That's the Mishnah in Brachos. Comes on the Yeshua's Malka. It's wild. In mid-1800s, and says a woman is not forbidden, but it should not, you know, affix a mezuzah.
It's a child
it would be the same. It would be the same issue. I think it would be the same issue. I think it would be the same issue.
Why
I'm gonna. Yeah. So why? No, so it doesn't say women can't put on tefillin. It says they're not involved. Their chiyuv is not. They're not in the chiyuv of the mitzvah. So therefore, they're not. If a woman wants to put on tefillin, that's a whole other shir. But they're not. They're not obligated, right? They're not included in the pasuk ukshartem of binding it. Women don't put on tefillin every morning. And therefore, they can't write it. Because the psukim are not connected. The only ones who could write it are ones who are involved in ukshartem. Again, I've got no stake in that. I'm not making money off this of this year. So you shouldn't, don't kill me. Don't be mad at me. You could attack me logically, but I'm fine with that. But definitely, this is not a personal shita. I want to read to you, though, the Tshuvas van Haggis, Sternbach, is arguably the oldest, greatest Rosh Yeshiva posek in Eretz Yisrael today, is Sfarim Teshuvos Van Hagos, are really world renowned. He writes, again, it's also Haredi. This is more Haredi, yeah? He says, Lo yadati lamalon wahakum bezosu chachila. He doesn't know how people could be lenient with this nowadays in an ideal situation. He says, Va'aflo maybe cloud, Deo Samachimir Mizay. He says, this person who wrote me this letter, who asked him about this, he doesn't even bring the strict opinions. Halo b'shut Yeshua Smalko. He quotes this Yeshua Smalko, which we just read to you. He says, he was Machimir Bezeh. He was strict. Desvirale shekvius havi l'chol apachos kiksiva. That affixing is the same as writing. Does anyone have a question on that? Hello? Affixing is not the same as writing, right? This Yeshua Smalka tries to like shove it under the rug and says, well, since you can't bind your tefillin, women don't bind tefillin, therefore they can't write it. Oh, and therefore, they also can't affix it on the door. Says Rosh Sternbach, I like that. And I'm going to give you a proof. You know, Unklus, the Targum, that on the side of the, you know, the parts that everyone just ignores in the Stone Chumash, right? So if you look at Unklus on the word Uchsavtam, you know what it says? You should write, right? Mezuzah's pasuk says Uchsavtam. Okay, I'm going to read it to you so I don't butcher anything by heart. Uchsavtam al Mezuzos Pesecha. Look at Unklus. What would you want him to translate Uchsavtam as? What would you want him to translate? You would want him to say it's writing, right? You would want him to say writing. So what does he say? He says, Uchsavtam, Ukavinan, affix it. Says Rav Sternbach, says V'chein B'targum, it says, Uchsavtam, Amzos B'secho, Mefarish, V'tak B'inon, you should affix it. Hare, you see, Shakvia, that the affixing is Ikri Ksiva, is called writing. He says, V'lama V'hatir B'mitzis Asei Doraisa. Why would you play games with the mitzvah saseh, which is the araisa, he says. Just get a man to do it. I don't know, I hope my wife doesn't ever say that. Just get a man to do it. Yeah, right? Right. I don't know. Says Rav Sternbach, halacha l'maisa, he paskins. The contemporary, nowadays. Sefer was in 20 years ago. He writes, 30 years ago. He says that women should not ideally put up a mezuzah. So Basinger, Brandsdorfer, and others as well. Don't leave yet. Is there another dissenting opinion? So for that we have the Shevet Halevi. Also, not such a liberal, not such a feminist. He was connected a little bit with Satmar in Bnei Brak. He was had a whole shikun in Bnei Brak, one of the greatest poskim. He died about 5-10 years ago at, and we're still doing it. Shkama says within 10 years. He's still within 10 years. He's nifter. He was a gun. Doesn't need my haskama, but a tremendous posek in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Vosner writes like this. Yeah. Remember his levaya. And unfortunately, he was known for his levaya. There were so many people that someone died because there was a stampede. They were like, and one yeshiva bacher was killed at his levaya. It was horrible. Yeah, but there were so many people came to give him kavod achron. So he writes like this. Vida, I saw, I read the Sefer Yeshua Smalka, he says, the Eini Sheyachol Kvoa Mezuzah. He says, I saw that he writes, and he quotes all the poskim, and he quotes all these sources that he quotes, but he writes, he says, I don't get it. Mikol Makom. Gam im Neimu Shepsuin B'chol Dover. You want to say women are not able to do anything. That makes sense. For tefillin, because women aren't obligated in tefillin. So you want to tell me women can't write tefillin, they can't tie the tefillin, they can't bind the tefillin. I get it. This is what you started saying before. I get it. Because women have nothing to do on an obligatory level with tefillin, he says. But shenim shaychem klal l'mitzah. Women don't do tefillin. Abo heyach nifso some kvis mezuzah. How can you forbid them to put up a mezuzah? B'zeh mitzvah d'chayav es rachmana. They're obligated in the mitzvah. So how are you going to tell me women are obligated to have a thing on their door, but they can't put up the thing? That doesn't make any sense, he says. How does that make any sense? B'dechayav rachmana v'ikra mitzvah miskemes v'kviyas. The whole mitzvah is to put it up. So Mishnah says women are obligated in mezuzah, but they can't put it up. Doesn't make any sense, he says. Verisi says, "B'tshuvas Eretz Tzvi." He says, "The Eretz Tzvi jumps on to Rav Kutna of same time period and says nistapik b'davar. He's not sure if women could put on fix a mezuzah or not. He says v'tzidit v'kan v'kan. He goes back and forth. V'ani yusi, he says, in my humility, he says v'shevet alevi ain't suffik b'davar. There's no doubt in at all that this, of course, women could have fixed a mezuzah. What's the big deal? Why are we having a whole chabur about this as well? The Chassam Sofer, also not much of a liberal either, but around that time period as well, he strongly disagreed. He said, no, just because a woman can't write a mezuzah has absolutely nothing to do with her affixing a mezuzah on the door. The Sefer V'Sfardim, Rabbi Avadi Yosef, and many others, as well as the modern Sefer Kvius Mezuzah Kilchasa, do allow women to put up a mezuzah, and that would be fine, totally fine. I would like to highlight one or two more points, if you don't mind. Point number one is another attack on this Yeshuas Malka, which I saw numerous Achronim ask. There is a rule, it's like, go wrap your head around this one. There is a rule in Halacha, in Judaism, that something that you are not allowed to do, you can't appoint an shliach to do. You with me? So in other words, if you're not obligated in something, you're not allowed to do something, if you appoint an emissary, the appointment, or the hiring him, is not a good hiring. It's not halachic. It doesn't work. So they ask on the Yeshuas Malka, wait one second. Women need to have a mezuzah on their door. They can't put it up themselves, according to Yeshuas Malka. So how are they supposed to get it up? Ask their husband to do it, or ask their father, their brother. Okay, if they live together, it's a little with another man in the house, it's a little different. Let's say a woman's living by herself. So how is she supposed to get that mezuzah up? She's supposed to hire the mezuzah doctor, or get her brother or son or father or whatever to go do it and put it up himself. How is she allowed to ask it? If she can't put it up herself, according to the Yeshuas Malka, she can't appoint a shliach to do it anyway. So what's the mezuzah supposed to do? Jump and get up there by itself? It's a bomb question, no? On the Yeshuas Malka.
It's not a
dvar, huh? Which is basically the answer. They're saying, well, she may not be ideally supposed to put it up, but yeah, there's nothing wrong with her asking someone else to put it up, because if it would get up there itself, it wouldn't be a problem either. You basically drive your head in a little bit of a circle, which is really another question on this chiddush, this novel approach of the Yeshuas Malka. If a woman can't put up her mezuzah herself, so how's it supposed to get up?
Maybe the mitzvah of the mezuzah or the is not on the person, but on
excellent.
The
excellent. So it's outside the scope, but excellent. It's a great point. That is what the Madani Usher tries to answer this question. You say, well, the mitzvah is to get it up there. It's the one who says it once it's up there. Okay, but then you're still running around in a little bit of a circle. So how is a woman supposed to get a mezuzah up there? So she could appoint the shliach by house of the Jew. Yeah, but you really get yourself, it's really a brain teaser almost, that it doesn't really work, and therefore there's another attack on this Yeshuas Malka. How could it be that a woman's obligated to put a mezuzah, but she can't put it up, and she can't ask anyone else to put it up? So that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So I Googled the sugya. These are my old notes from a few years ago. But what does the contemporary Rabbi Google, AI, say about this? So you get an interesting article by Ar Sameach Yeshiva online. Interestingly, I love these types of articles. It's unsigned. Unsigned, yeah? It's called the Mezuzah Maven. Maybe I didn't do such research last night, but you can check, what the Mezuzah Maven, who the Mezuzah Maven is. But I'll read to you his question. And Lanias Daiti, I'm going to disagree if that's okay with you. He says, at least some point, yeah. He says, I'm a single woman and have recently moved into my own apartment. I've asked my brother to come over and put up my mezuzot, but he is an accountant in the middle of tax season and keeps on having to cancel. Is it right for a woman to put up a mezuzah? He writes, women are fully obligated in the mitzvah of mezuzah, as it is not a time-bound commandment. You should put up the mezuzahs by yourself and not delay your mitzvah further by waiting for your brother. The Talmud points out that the Torah's blessing of long life and reward for the fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah properly is for fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah properly, comma, is equally relevant for women as for men. I'm okay with that. Next one is interesting. Yeah? Says, this one is controversial. I'm gonna take a stab at it. Don't shoot me, okay? This is my opinion for myself. I would tell this to my wife. That's my only point. I'm responsible for. You could all asked by Rosenfeld, Tawakamaisa, what you would do. Yeah? I will be supervising the move into our new house, as my husband will be only be home in the evening. I would like to wait for my husband to affix the mezuzahs. Now, the waiting is how long? We're talking about a few hours, right? Till the husband comes home at night. But my brother in Israel, you know, the flipped out brother in Israel, yeah? Told me I should put them up right away by myself as soon as the furniture is delivered. Can't I wait? Question mark. He answers, the mezuzah maven. Ordinarily, a married woman should defer to her husband to affix the mezuzahs. A husband may, of course, share the mitzvah with his wife as they are both obligated. However, since this house is not a rental, it requires mezuzahs immediately, which the men will talk about in a few weeks, and your deference to your husband will cause a delay. Therefore, you should put up the mezuzahs yourself. Lania's daiti, I mean, I would disagree. If it's a couple of hours, and based on this year, look, we don't necessarily follow the Yeshua's Malko always, or in an ideal, you know, in a situation where it's uncomfortable for a woman to ask a man to do it. If a woman's living by her home or by herself, and she could easily put it back up, or if a husband's away, or she's then a woman could, I would think, as Rabbi Rosenfeld for Halacha L'maaseh, but I would think that a woman can put up her own mezuzah if it's going to be a couple of days until she gets a man. Mezuzah doctor's not going to be there for a few days, 2 days, 3 days. You have to get an appointment. I would suggest that the woman should put up the mezuzah herself. But to wait a few hours till the husband comes home, husband says he's going to do it. If it's a real husband and he says, yeah, I'll do it, and it takes 10 days, then okay, that's a different situation. The husband's going to be home. He's at work. 4 hours later, I respectfully would disagree with the mezuzah. Maven, I would think that in that situation, because of the sheet of the Yeshua's Malka and Rav Sternbach, you should wait and ideally let a man put it up. If the man's not going to put up anyway, because like me, I'm not putting up any mezuzahs, and we're not going to hire a mezuzah doctor, and the woman's going to put up herself, then of course you should put it up right away. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, outside of
registration,
you have 30 days to put up
mezuzah. So I don't know, but I agree with that. You have to come back.
Up to 30 days.
I don't know that I agree. Come back next week. I'm away in 2 weeks, and in 3 weeks we're going to tackle that topic. I know, we didn't even give a whole share on it. I may disagree with that on tape over here. I don't know that I agree to that statement. You have 30 days. That's going to be a whole discussion. You have to come back for that. And I hope I didn't insult any females or males in this chabur. We should be zocha, and we should fulfill the mitzvah mezuzah, and it should be arichas yamim for all of us.